Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Gold and Gold podcast. This is Javi and Lee here, back at it again. It is Sunday, July 19th, and a gloomy one at that, actually. It's a little gloomy outside today, actually, but it's a good day for footy, though.
Good day for footy, even though we've watched both of our teams crash out of the FA Cup semis in the past 24 hours, yes. We actually just got done watching the Chelsea United game, 3-1 drubbing.
Yikes. Yikes. Big yikes.
Big yikes. So that sets up the Arsenal-Chelsea final. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And this is episode 42.
Episode 42.
It's been a couple weeks. We had a busy couple weeks here, so we apologize for going a couple weeks without an episode. But here we are. We're going to review to see where things at in the Prem as it winds down here. Only a couple games to go.
This is exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff. A thrilling top four race right now. And a little bit of a relegation battle still going on. And then we will talk about MLS's back for a bit, kind of break down what's gone wrong at Barcelona as well. Yes, yes. The Real Madrid named champions this past week.
A la Madrid.
What else? Serie A petering out as well, and maybe a little bit of Champions League. Touch on that a little bit as the draw came out in the last couple weeks. And the City ban. We're going to talk about the City not being banned. So a lot to talk about, but without further ado, what do you want to start with?
Let's just start with the FA Cup right now. Let's rip the
Band-Aid off.
Just rip it right off right now. Man, dude, disappointing. Disappointing result for United. I wouldn't really care about the result. It was just more the performance. I think United came out super slow, and I think they were outplayed and outcoached, to be honest, at the end of the day. And we were talking a little bit about it before we went on air here. I think Ole kind of just, he tried to be too smart with it. He thought too hard, you know? He played with three in the back, and then you have your two outside wing backs. Which is a formation we haven't really been playing anymore. The success we've had so far is four in the back, one holding mid, and then one like box-to-box attacking mid, and then three forwards up top. So I don't know why he played so defensive. And Chelsea kind of did the same thing, but Chelsea just were on a different level today, and they were clicking on all cylinders, and United kind of just looked lethargic and slow.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about how, you know, this, obviously getting that last Champions League spot was more important to United, so maybe that played a part into the lineup and the tactics and all that stuff. But, you know, the lineup I can see, you know, swapping out a few guys. But tactically, like you said, you know, four in the back, the box-to-box player in the midfield that's been on point in the last six games or so, that setup, I don't know why you would stray from that. For this game, and they did come out super slow. First 15 minutes, I think Chelsea had just about all of the ball, and then, you know, it just never turned on its head for them. They never turned the corner at any point in the game. And De Gea, I mean, we talked about it in the past, but not yet today. Another soft goal, couple soft. Some people can argue one of the other two goals given up was soft, but mainly the Mason Mount goal, very soft goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd been with Sergio Romero for, I believe, the whole tournament up until this game.
Yeah.
And he's proven to be capable in the cup matches. Mm-hmm. Chelsea played Caballero, and I can't go out on a limb and say it would be a different game if De Gea doesn't. Let that one go in, but you just never know. And in big games like this, you know, you have to rely on a confident goalkeeper to make the necessary stops for you, and I think he's low in confidence right now, simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. And I was telling you, there's no way that – I mean, I wouldn't even extend his contract. Like, right now, he doesn't deserve a new contract right now, the way he's been playing. And, again, he makes, like – we were saying, like, he'll let, like, that kind of stupid shit go in, and then he'll make, like, he made a couple fantastic saves again after. So it's, like, there needs to be some sort of consistency, and he hasn't really been too consistent. I mean, he's still a great keeper, but he's making a lot of little mistakes. He's been making a lot of those the past, like, year and a half, 2 years now. He's been kind of just slowly, mm-hmm. you know, not being himself. He used to be, I mean, he was for like 2-3 years in a row United's player of the year or something like that. He was like, he was the reason why United were not like worse off than they were before.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's starting to get to a point where I'd probably give him one more season to see if he can redeem himself. And if he can't, then I think it's time to part ways with him and Dean Henderson take over the mantle.
Yeah, right. And he's more than capable of doing it.
I think so,
from
too.
What we've seen with Sheffield this year. But I agree. I think, unfortunately, I think United have more immediate needs in the offseason. So I don't see them making a move with De Gea.
No.
I anticipate him being the number one, like you said, for probably one more season. Mm. And unless he lights it up and proves from start to finish of this next season that he's the superior goalkeeper than Dean Henderson, which I just don't see it happening. I imagine he'll be gone after another year, but I just think they have other needs to address now, and a goalkeeper just may not be, you know, on top of the list for them.
No, yeah, 100%. And you can tell, like, I mean, United still needs a lot of squad depth. I mean, they don't have, you know, the starting 11 is solid, but once you start moving around some players, like, it's just a, you could just tell there's a difference, and the drop-off in quality is actually pretty, pretty high, to be honest. Like, it's, you could if Pogba and Bruno aren't in that lineup in the middle, like, that midfield is kind of is shite. And obviously you can say that for, I mean, like, if City don't have De Bruyne, you know, obviously you guys are worse off. But, like, you just need to have someone, you need to have some depth off the bench to kind of replace. Because Bruno and Pogba, who knows, during the season next, they can get injured or, you know, they can't play every minute of every game. So you got to have players that can, you know, do the same job as them, and if not, just as well. You know, to compete.
And we were saying during the game today, past 6-7 games the United have played, it's been the same lineup, same tactics, same 11, basically. Pretty much the same subs as well that get made throughout the 90 minutes. And then today you see new faces, Luke Shaw.
Huge.
That was big for them. But then, like, new faces like Fred come in, and Brandon Williams, and Daniel James, and, you know, different start back to front.
Yeah.
And they just can't get anything going with, you know, just a couple new faces in the team. And that should be obviously a point of concern going into next season. Because I was telling you, and I'll say this to all the listeners as well, I told Javi today, if United have a good offseason, they get rid of some of their dead weight, and they bring in one or two big signings, whether it be in the back, or in the midfield, or a winger, I think they have a good chance to, you know, if Ole, you know, gets things right next year on the sidelines, I think they have a good chance to challenge next year, at least make it a lot closer than it was this year, for sure.
Yeah.
No, and actually, it'd be fun to watch as well.
Yeah, they would be fun to watch, so... Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. I think Ole's been doing a pretty solid job. I don't know if he's gonna be the guy going forward to lead them to silverware in the future. I don't really know that. I don't know the answer to that yet. But he's been getting rid of dead weight. He got rid of Lukaku, big move. He got rid of Fellini.
Ashley Young.
So he's been getting. I mean, Man United were in a huge hole. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Here.
Like, they're in a huge hole. So. Definitely got to get rid of some more players and bring in some fresh faces, and we'll see. I mean, yeah. So, I need to see the ambition from the board.
It's funny you say that you bring up those guys, because I actually forgot that those guys left recently. Ashley Young, Lukaku, Fellini. Yeah. It really puts into perspective how much dead weight they actually did have, because they still have more to get rid of, and they've already gotten rid of just 3-4 players right there you just named.
Yeah.
And we named 3 or 4 earlier. Mm-hmm. Phil Jones, one of them, Lingard. Who's another one?
Phil Jones, Lingard.
Mata was another one there.
Mata was another one. Smalling, try to get rid of him. Alexis Sanchez. I mean, there's just three or four more
right there. So it just puts into perspective how much dead weight really was on that team. So this will be a big off season for them, especially ending the season in relatively good form like they have. So it'll be interesting. But we'll readdress it when the season is fully done and dusted.
Yep, yep.
But then the other semi, Arsenal City yesterday, honestly, probably Arsenal's best performance of the year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
City didn't really show up. I'm not really going to dwell too much on their play, but, you know, had most of the ball like they're used to having, couldn't put away their chances. Gabriel Jesus, I say it time and time again, he doesn't show up in big games. Couple counterattacks. Mikel Arteta looks like a tactical genius against his teacher. Arsenal probably play their only all-out overall good defensive performance of the year. David Luiz has his best game of the season, and they went 2-0.
The stars aligned. The stars aligned, man.
Yeah.
It was just one of those. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch the game, but I mean, yeah, I mean, it went their way. It seems like, and yeah. And didn't go City's way. So I mean, look, I mean, obviously, like I always want to compete in everything, and I want to try to win everything. I'm more concerned with I'm sure you can also with performance more than result when it comes to like these cup matches.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how. It is what it is. Like, I'm not disappointed about it. I don't know if you are either, but getting knocked out, like, in the semifinals or not. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
You're exactly right with performance, because they obviously have a big Champions League match coming up with Real Madrid that they have to see out. And they intentionally, I believe, rested players midweek against Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
They rested De Bruyne and some other guys, Laporte as well. So they could have a full squad for this game, and they didn't turn out.
Yeah,
and it's concerning because that more or less is going to be the team that's going to face Madrid in August.
Yep.
And this is an Arsenal team who, yes, they did beat Liverpool, but you know, they're not even in the same galaxy as City are on paper.
Mm-mm.
And this is a game they should have won. They beat them 3-0. Matter of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Easily, handily. Yeah. I don't even think Arsenal had a shot on goal that game. But this was a game they should have won. I give Arsenal a lot of credit, though. They came out, they played well defensively. Granted, it was the first time in a long time they played well defensively, but hey, those games happen. but the City have to really reflect on that game and make sure that doesn't happen again, because they have the biggest game of their season coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be Arsenal, Chelsea in the final.
What do you have? You think
I would say Chelsea, but Arsenal really, you know, for their fans' sake, and you know, for the
morale,
mentality of the players, you know, going into next season, they really need this one.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially a new manager, Arteta needs it as well. I honestly think, you know, I know they just brought him in, but, you know, there's still going to be an seventh place finish in the league.
No, yeah.
Not really any better off than when he took over.
It's a tough look.
So, you know, it's not totally convincing, no. But getting this trophy would go a long way.
And a transfer window for him as well. So yeah. We'll have to see. Yeah, it'd be nice to see him win something, but it's also Arsenal, so I can't.
Exactly.
I don't want to see Arsenal. I don't want to see Arsenal win a trophy, and I can't stand the thought. I cannot bear it, Lee. It will kill me inside if Arsenal win, and I had to listen to one of my friends who's an Arsenal fan just boast about that. I can't take it.
They're
I can't
worst.
Take it.
Those
no,
Arsenal
I can't
fans
take it.
The worst.
But anyway, so segue, since we were talking about City and Arsenal. Why don't we talk a little bit about the non-ban that City got, the utter bullshit UEFA.
I would love to speak on that, Javier. I'm glad you brought it up.
So, you know what? You give me your thoughts first.
So, my guess before the verdict came out was that City were going to get some sort of punishment. It was never going to be the two-year ban. It was never going to be that. And if you think that, and I don't care who you are, if you think that was going to happen, you're delusional. That was never going to happen, given all of the resources and energy that City threw at this thing to get it overturned, basically. That was never going to happen, and I don't even think that was a justifiable punishment to begin with, because Yeah, let's say they cheated. Let's say that they did what they did. You know how much money that owner has? You know how fucking much money that guy has? Why would he bother to throw a little bit of extra revenue or falsify some revenues when he has all the fucking money in the world? It just doesn't make sense to me why they would do it. I don't see what they'd be getting out of it. But even if they did, let's say they did, you're going to punish players who had nothing to do with it for two straight Champions Leagues. I mean, there's teams doing this. There'd be other clubs doing this as well. Mm-hmm. And this would be the first time that we would see something that extreme be dealt towards a scenario like this. Mm-hmm. And it almost struck me as City being the guinea pig for financial fair play punishment, mm-hmm. almost. Like, and I just thought that 2 years for the first time being harshly punished would be just a little bit over the top. I did think 1 year would have happened, was very likely. I was impressed and pleasantly surprised to see it basically entirely thrown out.
Yeah.
And for those unaware of, you know, the details, they still got fined, I think, $10 million, which is literally like couch change for their fucking owner.
So they were, like, technically guilty if they had to pay a fine. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
like,
this is what I want to clarify. The fine was not for what they were originally charged with. The fine was for not cooperating with the original investigation.
Okay.
They said, we're not going to cooperate, like, you're going to have to dig for whatever you think
we did
basically, because we're not going to cooperate with this investigation. We think it's bullshit basically.
Okay.
So the fine came from them not willing to cooperate.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
So they were guilty of not cooperating with the investigation, but the court of arbitration did not find them guilty for what they originally were charged with.
Okay.
So that was what that was all about. I think, you know, let's just say, regardless of if they did it or not, this is an absolute joke of an approach by UEFA. Very piss poor. You know, if you're gonna accuse any team of doing something like this,
you better
make sure you got all your ducks in a row and you're gonna fucking convict them.
Yeah, and you're gonna get after. Yeah, so.
That would be like charging a murderer with, you know, X amount of years in prison, but not having all the actual evidence and literally doing all of your due diligence to make sure he actually end up getting sentenced.
Yeah, like what it was, I don't know. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, it would have been funny if if Man City got a ban. It would have been banter for me. Like, I mean, honestly, it would have been funny.
Of course.
But I think the overall, like, actual issue is, you're right, UEFA. You know, they came in here, they were waving their big schlongs over here, thinking they're like, City, two-year banning, gonna pay $30 million. Everyone's like, ooh, like, okay, like, you know, it's, and then you find out, like, okay, and then that was all talk. It was all talk. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, it kind of just makes UEFA seem like a total joke, and it just kind of makes it seem like almost like you can get away with, like, whatever. Not that, like, I'm not blaming City or whatever, like, anything. It's just, like, it just makes it seem like any team can just do whatever they want then if you don't, like, really put your foot down and say what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And that's, like, and I'm just looking at that in perspective from looking at UEFA as an overall organization. Like, I don't care what team it is, even City. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't really care. It doesn't affect me because I'm not even a fan of City. But I think more so in terms of being able to back up your talk is something more of an issue.
Yeah,
here.
And I think the problem from UEFA's side of things and financial fair play side of things is kind of goes back to when they first got accused of this. I talked about what do we really know about financial fair play?
Not a lot.
No,
it's very vague.
It's a very ambiguous concept. And if UEFA was able to make this financial fair play more airtight and more structured without so many what seemingly is loopholes, then a club like City wouldn't be able to just simply throw some lawyers in there lawyer up and infiltrate these loopholes and get off scot-free, you know?
Yeah.
If it was a more structured set of policies, whatever you want to call it, regulations, maybe you'd be able to actually charge some teams with this.
Yeah.
So that's something, if they really want to keep financial fair play into effect going forward, maybe that's something they need to look at and, you know, make it not so fucking mysterious of a concept.
Yeah, it's like, it's vague.
To where someone can just hire some lawyers and
there you go,
expose your loopholes in the system and get stuff overturned.
No, yeah, 100%. So, what they kind of did was they pretty much like rented the Lambo for the day, showed it off to the girls and all this stuff, and everyone's like, wow. And then they show up the next day with a Toyota Camry, and I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, yo, what happened? It was all talk, you know?
That's a good analogy, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only thing. I don't really care.
So, and I'm a little biased, but I challenge all of you who are upset with the overturn to be mad at UEFA and that governing body rather than
City
throwing all this money to get it overturned. Because,
well, your club would do the same. Like, yeah, you know, your club would do the same.
Yeah, any club would do the same if they had the resources available. And it sounds like any group of lawyers could have gotten the job done with this because there was so much, you know, just smoke and mirrors and loopholes to expose.
Exactly, yeah.
So be mad at UEFA for not having, you know, not having all their ducks in a row rather than, you know, City doing what they had to do to make sure that they didn't take 10 steps back after all these steps forward.
Yeah, no.
Your club would do the same.
Yeah, no.
I guarantee it.
No, I agree. I'm not mad at City. It would have been funny to me, but it is what it is. Yeah. UEFA needs to figure that shit out. Back up your fucking talk. You motherfuckers. Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're soft.
Soft UEFA.
Very soft.
So, but anyways, I think that's it for that, though. Yeah. I mean, there's not much else to go by.
We'll review where things stand in the Prem over the last couple weeks, what the top four looks like, and that top four fight for those last spots in Europe, and as well as that little bit of relegation battle that's still ongoing. And then we'll move on to Barcelona shade a little bit there.
Absolutely.
So, Leicester gets absolutely spanked today by Spurs, who
have not been good.
Who have not been good.
Very
and
poor
very
Spurs
boring
side.
To watch. Leicester are shambolic. I'll say it. They have not been the same team since the restart.
They haven't been the same team since this whole year, since the second half.
They like United, kind of in the same boat in terms of depth. You know, they lost Chilwell, Pereira, and Soyuncu recently, and James Maddison, to either injury and or suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And they've fallen apart. They look like a mid-table team.
I mean, yeah. No, yeah, they look awful. I mean, the form that they've been in this half of the season is like mid-table or even worse type of form. So, I mean, like, you can say the same for any team, right? Like, if City were to lose, like, De Bruyne, Aguero's already out, but De Bruyne, Aguero, Bernardo Silva, like, you know, important players, I mean, they would definitely struggle. So, like, I do understand to a certain extent why, but this has been going on since January, since the second half of the season started. You know, it's not just because they started losing players. Like, they've just been ass this whole entire second half. And, I kind of saw this. I kind of saw this coming when the shutdown happened because of Corona and all this stuff. Leicester were already doing kind of bad, and I was like in my head, I was like saying to myself, you know what? Like Leicester they're gonna drop out of the top four for sure, and they were like, I looked back at the table in January, and they were 14 points clear of Man United, who were in fifth at the time. So Leicester were in third place, and Man United were in fifth place. And I think Leicester had 48 points, and Man U had 34. 14 points, and now they're tied for points.
Yeah, they're really points. Just, you know, it's a matter of trying to hang on.
I mean, yeah. And I don't
hang on to that last spot, which I don't see it happening.
No, because they play
each other, right?
They play, yeah. So, they play Man U. So Man U has West Ham in the sea on Wednesday. And
yeah,
then
they have
Leicester next weekend. So, and honestly, like if I had to put money on put money on the what's going to happen. I mean, I think United are going to take the points on that.
Yeah, and it was clear with the FA Cup lineup today that they're that's their priority. The fourth place spot there.
Yeah.
And they should roll over West Ham pretty easily.
They should.
And then with the way that Leicester played against Spurs today, I mean, should roll over them too. And I can see United getting that fourth spot when it's all said and done.
Maybe even third, depending on Chelsea. Chelsea have Liverpool and Wolves.
Yeah, it'll be tough for Chelsea. And then they've also got FA Cup final somewhere in there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So. So they got another game to worry about as well.
Yeah, so it's super tight for third and fourth right now. And honestly, yeah, I think I'm going to say, I'll say this. I think United get third, Chelsea get fourth, and then Leicester get fifth. But I'm a little nervous only because of the performance I saw today. It was a shit show of a performance, which it happens. Like teams have their bad games. Like City had a bad game against Arsenal. Like it happens. But it needs to be just because, like, the only time I'll accept a loss is because the other team just played better than us. But I need to see, what I want to see is consistency in terms of your performance, like players doing this. And, like, I mean, the players on the bench got to do more, man. I mean, they're just like, there's nothing else. I mean, we talked about it. I don't want to go into it again. It's just like, that's what's going to come down to whether or not we're going to be able to secure a fourth place spot. But super dope. I'm excited for it. I love the last day of the season. It's fucking awesome. Like, it's intense, and there's
all games playing at the same time.
All games playing at the same time. Yeah. My ween is getting nice and nice and hard just thinking about it. And on the other end of the table, the relegation battle, man, is getting serious.
Yeah, and you actually told me today there has not been an official word yet that Nigel Pearson for Watford is going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very clear from the article that I read. It almost sounded like there was a chance they were going to let him go before they played these last two games.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it also kind of made it sound that it could only be if they fail to stay up that they'll let him go. And that'll be the third sacking in the span of one season for Watford.
Yeah, I don't even... What's gone wrong with them? You know, the thing is, they have some pretty solid players. They have, I mean, Deeney, he was injured for most of the season, so that that hurt him.
They've missed him, yeah.
But
he's injured recently.
He's been injured, but he's been tearing it up. So, look,
this is a team that beat Liverpool.
This is a team that beat Liverpool. Gave Liverpool their first fucking L, dude. They put Liverpool on their ass, like, you know. I really don't want to see Watford relegated. I actually like Watford, to be honest. I like Watford. And I like them better than Villa and Bournemouth, to be honest with you. So I hope they stay up. But it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be rough. I mean, that loss to West Ham was definitely put them down. They got City and Arsenal next. I mean, not easy games.
Yeah. And for that reason, Watford's last two games and their current form has been terrible.
Yep.
For that reason, I mean, Bournemouth lost today, but they still got one game to play against Everton, who they're ready for holiday. You know, they're not going down. They're not going. They're mid table.
Yeah.
They're already have their eyes set on vacation. That's a game that they could get, honestly, and they only need 3 points. The goal difference will come into effect.
Yeah.
But Villa have Arsenal and West Ham, last game of the year. West Ham, holy shit. So this is why I think either Bournemouth or Villa could nick it.
Yeah, because Brighton, I mean, Brighton can also just be shit too. So, man, I don't even know what it's like. Because West Ham, so if West Ham lose against United, that keeps them level 37. And if Villa get a result against Arsenal, 34 points. So, I mean, between 15th to 18th place right now, it's pretty close. And actually 19th place. So Bournemouth, but I don't know Bournemouth.
I'll give them this. Bournemouth, the last 2 weeks, because I've been watching them, they have had like just bad luck. They played City really well, midweek.
Mm-hmm.
They were down 1-0. They hit the post. And then City came down on the same exact like counter and scored and made it 2-0. The week before, they had a goal winning goal against somebody chalked off in an extra time from VAR. And then today, they had a tying goal chalked off for offside, and then Southampton ended up making it 2-0 in like 8 minutes of stoppage time or something when they threw everyone forward.
You hate to see that.
So they've had some really bad luck, and I feel for them a lot because, you know, they play in this little 10,000-seat stadium. If they go down, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to come back up.
Yeah, and it's like it was weird. I never really saw Bournemouth, the team, being relegated. Actually, when they went into the season,
I think they have a good team. When it's all said and done, we'll talk about you know, certain players from the relegated teams who we think we can get picked up for by Premier League teams for next season. But they've got some decent players.
Yeah, they do.
Eddie Howe, I think, maybe just has been there too long. It kind of got stale.
Mm-hmm.
I ultimately think that they're done. I think today killed them. Especially now that they have one more game played than Villa, Watford, and Brighton.
Yeah, I mean they need I mean they needed a win.
They really needed a win today.
And they, I mean, do they still have a chance? I guess technically, right?
They have a chance if
the other team,
if West Ham or Watford lose both of their games and they beat Everton by a goal or so. They could go through on goal difference, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard.
But Villa would also have to lose both of their games.
That'll be an interesting game to watch, Everton-Bournemouth, because that's a lot's on the line there. They have to get a result.
But Norwich, obviously, is finished.
They're ass. They're ass.
They won the league last year, too. They won the championship, and they're in fucking last place. And Sheffield, man, killing it. Still killing it.
Killing it, man, Sheffield.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It'll also be interesting to see how, depending on how FA Cup plays out, I think, I don't remember how that works. If Chelsea win, even though they'll be getting a Champions League spot, does that mean that an additional Europa League spot opens up, or does that mean Arsenal get their Europa League spot because they are runners-up?
Yeah.
Or how that works, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
Will that seventh place spot become the Europa League spot?
No idea.
I'd be interested to see how that plays out because Wolves, Sheffield, Spurs are all right there with two games to go.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It would be cool to see Wolves. I mean, with this.
I mean, Wolves are in Europa this league, this year.
Or is the seventh place get you Europa League?
It can, depending on how FA Cup and EFL plays out or something like that.
Okay.
Because the winner from FA Cup, I believe, gets a Europa League spot.
Mm.
But if that winner is also gets the Champions League spot, like Chelsea, for example, does that mean the runners up gets the Europa League spot that would have went to the champion, or does that mean that the seventh place finisher in the league get that Europa League spot? I don't remember how that works.
Oh, okay.
So I might have to research that later. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Your relegation, fourth place, third place, and then those couple Europa League spots.
Yeah, right now.
So that's Premier League update for you all. So now I want to move on to Barca.
Barcelona.
Who have choked since the restart. Real Madrid, I think, won their, 32nd, 33rd La Liga title
something
crazy.
Something like that. Yeah.
You want to start on that?
Yeah. You know, I don't really...
talking about it recently.
Yeah, you know this for a fact. Like, I don't really watch a lot of La Liga. I stopped watching a lot once Ronaldo left. I think Ronaldo-Messi rivalry made it a lot more fun. But... I mean, obviously, you know, Barca just look—they're like a shadow of what they used to be. And like, I don't even say that. I mean, I think that's like to put it nicely, that's what they are. They're shit right now. I mean, they're shit, and that's with Messi, who had like over 20 goals and over 20 assists, this season.
It's to no fault of his own.
It's It's just, let's look at it. Number one, recruitment has been shambolic. 2 years ago, they bought Dembele from Borussia Dortmund for, over 100 mil or something like that?
And he's been a bad professional.
Bad professional. You know what he's going to be like? He's going to be, one of those players. He's going to be, a Balotelli, probably.
Could
has
be.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of like, you know, maybe if he did this or he took it more seriously, he could have been even more. And he's still young. He's, I think he's only 22 still, or 23. But, man, he hasn't done enough for the price that he was bought for to live up to what they... I mean, he just hasn't done shit, to be honest. Yeah, with you. He hasn't done shit.
Coutinho.
Then you got Coutinho from Liverpool to $145 million. Look where he's at on loan. Doesn't fit the system. I don't know what's, and I don't know what's going on. Griezmann, who's been okay, you know.
Very okay.
Very okay. So, you know, they just... They haven't really been, they haven't been recruiting well, and then on top of that, the coaches that they've had have been very questionable.
I don't even know where they got their current coach from. Was he in the system somewhere?
I think he was in the system somewhere.
Quique Setién, yeah. I think his name is.
I don't know who the fuck is that, bro. Like, you know, like if you're Lee, if you're the board, like you're gonna hire a dude. You gotta hire a coach that's like fit for Barcelona. You know what I'm saying,
right, bro?
It's like not. Like, and I get it, like, a lot, like, and I feel like a lot of teams nowadays are starting to do, like, they're starting to, like, take on young coaches. Like, look at Chelsea with Lampard, Man United with Ole. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. And it's, like, a lot to ask from a coach who's that inexperienced to take on a team like Barcelona. It's just, you know, Barca always needs to be, like, at their best, always or always at the top. And, I mean... Once one thing after another, they're just the board looks incompetent too. Messi and the board have been throwing shade at each other over the media.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to find the quote from Messi after Real Madrid won the title, kind of summing up the state of the club and what his thoughts on it are. God, I can't find it now. But very, I thought it was well put. I mean. It may not have been what everyone wanted to hear, mm-hmm. but it was. I thought it was very on point with, you know, where things are at that club. I'm gonna have to keep scrolling to try to find it here.
Here, I think I found it. He said, "Roma, Liverpool, the fans are running out of patience because we're not giving them anything. If you want to fight for the Champions League, a lot has to change. Like this, we will lose to Napoli."
Right.
I mean, he's spot on, dude. He's just, he looks pissed. I mean, he looks frustrated and he looks mad. And I, like, honestly, his contract expires next year, and I don't know if he's going to stay.
I mean, if it continues like this, yes. I mean, and we've talked about how they have an aging squad as well, which doesn't help them.
Yeah.
They have a couple young faces. They have Ansu Fati in this, I don't know if you've seen this, Ricard Puig.
Yeah, I've seen
He's kind of like him, supposed to be like the next Xavi.
Mm-hmm.
He had 2 assists today, and he's been starting in that like Xavi and Iniesta role.
Mm-hmm.
So, but aside from them, I mean, everyone else is aging, mm-hmm. and there hasn't been enough. The board and the sporting director, whoever you want to call
them. Doesn't seem like there's a plan.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a plan in place to address the aging squad enough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, and that's concerning for them going forward because they could become, and I don't mean to throw shade, but they could become like what United and Arsenal have been the last 2 years where they've just, it seems like they've been rebuilding and rebuilding for just too long.
Yeah.
That would be just catastrophic for them.
For Barca,
you've witnessed firsthand with United how frustrating it's been just after they've been great for so long to go through 4 or 5 years of just poor off-season moves. Ups and downs and not competing for the league and for heart and for silverware and Arsenal in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
They're heading down a bad path right now.
A scary one.
A very scary one that Barcelona fans have not seen in their lifetime, I would say.
No. Yeah. It's been a lot. I mean, and I have to say the same thing almost for Madrid, too, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think Madrid is that much better. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
I don't think there's a need for Madrid to be as good as they've had to be because La Liga, there's the competition level is just, it's not there.
No,
anymore.
It's not. No.
It really isn't. And now that you don't have the Ronaldo Messi dynamic and you have both of your top teams in the league kind of old.
It's kind of getting boring. Like, it's kind of looking boring. I like Serie A might take the cake for to be a little bit better than La Liga. To be honest with you, if I'm serious.
I mean, they've got Atalanta now, and now Inter's kind of bouncing back.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and then obviously you got the German league. I think, some people might like be like, Javi, you're a fucking dumbass. But low key, Serie A might be number two league. Just because of competitiveness.
I don't know. I have to see someone else win it. But
yes, you're right.
I can say the same for the Bundesliga. But you say the Bundesliga as well.
And La Liga. So I'm just saying in terms of how close it is and like teams up and coming, like I don't know.
And we have everyone's
hot take.
Every neutral's favorite team, Atalanta in Serie A, who seems to score like five goals every game.
And if Atalanta get through against PSG.
Oh, I fucking hope they do. That'd be unreal.
I'm telling you, man. Hot take, but I'm gonna say it. Sue me.
Hell yeah, man. Serie A, don't sleep on it.
Don't sleep on it. But yeah, no, like going back, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, they're going to lose Messi soon. Messi's only getting older, so.
Yeah.
You're going to need to, I mean, to replace Messi, like kind of like with Madrid and Ronaldo, I mean, you're going to need to sign like three guys.
The direction of the club will be heavily dictated on these next
couple
years, yeah. I think, with how they handle acquisitions and handle just managing the team basically.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. So Real Madrid champions.
Congrats
again. I believe it's been a few years since they won, but it was like 30 something title or something crazy. But
yeah.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say, well, I guess it was kind of like a extra touch, but since we're talking about it, Gareth Bale, did you see Gareth Bale?
Yeah, he was like sleeping during a game. his mask over his eyes.
Yeah, he was sleeping. Hold on, he was sleeping during a game. And then when they won, he kind of didn't really celebrate. He was just kind of like in the sides, like kind of just like, you know, he doesn't give
a
fuck.
He's collecting a paycheck.
He doesn't give a fuck. And like, if you ever really, you know, a lot of people just like, you're pretty much just there to collect a paycheck. Like this is it right here. That's like what it is. Gareth Bale is just there to get a paycheck, and that's pretty much it.
Yes,
and I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, he's been okay. I'll say this: he's been treated really poorly ever since he's got in there from the fans. Like, he's just never really fit in there.
A lot of criticism.
He never really fit in. But like, why would you stay? You know, like why don't you want to go somewhere and still compete? He's still young, right? He's still like 30. He's still kind of in his prime right now. You know. And you're kind of just wasting it away on the bench, you know, not giving a shit. I mean, he's just taking the piss, bro. You know, when he was playing for Wales still,
he's 31.
Oh, 31. When he was playing for Wales still in the friendlies, someone gave him like a flag that said Wales golfing Madrid, like in that order.
Yeah.
And he's like goofing around. I'm like, I get it. Like, you know, you're just fucking shooting the shit, but it's like, dude, don't you want to still like.
He's got a couple years left in the tank.
But I think it's also, you know, I hate seeing that. It's just, he just gave up, right? He doesn't give a shit anymore.
So while we're talking about him, guess how many goals Gareth Bale has this year?
How many?
In the league. Just take a guess.
Is it less than five?
Yeah. Two.
Yeah.
Two goals.
That's none shit, bro.
Two goals, two assists in 16 La Liga games. 16 games. That's it. You play over 30 in a league season. You only play 16 games. What the fuck?
He's just, yeah, dude. Him and Zidane do not get along. And he doesn't give a fuck, dude. He's just hanging out.
He's booing.
He's boofing. And, I mean, it is what it is. And the reason I bring this up is I was talking to my friends a while back, and someone was saying, like, he's a legend. I don't think he's a legend, though.
I don't think you can put him in that. I don't think you can give him that title
You can't give him that title anymore. Like, I think if he went somewhere else and continued to do what he was doing, then, yeah, you could say that. But
a true legend can play at that level through the age of 34.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 31, and he's
he gave up
sleeping on the sideline.
He just gave up. So, I think the guy has massive talent, and he's done a lot for Madrid, actually. He scored some awesome goals.
Yeah.
But anyone in my eyes who kind of just gives up, and like, I know I get it, like, you're treated badly, but if you're not actively trying to go somewhere to like play and be comfortable, then I'm not going to label you as a legend. You're just like, and again, like, I'm not saying like I'm better or something, but that's just lazy. Like, you know, that's just lazy. So, and that pisses me off.
Not a legend's mindset.
Not a legend's mindset. So, and he's good player, great player, but not a legend in my eyes.
Yeah, I agree. So before we get to extra touches, just briefly on MLS is back. MLS is back tournament is into, I believe, week two now. I know you haven't been watching much, so I'll just give a bit of a recap for the listeners here. Almost everyone has played two games of their group stage at this point. Our beloved Chicago Fire played tonight. They won their first game against the defending champs. Shout out to them against Seattle.
Let's go.
So something to be excited about there for us. El Tráfico was last night. 6-2. LAFC beat LA Galaxy 6-2 last night.
No,
without Vela. 6-2.
Bro. Dude, Cheech is taking the piss, bro.
But honestly, some of the big teams have been off to a slow start here. Atlanta 0-2, lost to Cincinnati and the Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
LA Galaxy 0-2, lost to Portland and LAFC. Seattle is 0-1-1. They lost to the Fire, tied San Jose. New York City FC 0-2, and then of course we've talked about this before. Miami 0-2, haven't won a game yet since they've become an expansion team. No ties, no wins, and they have the ugliest jerseys in the league.
Yeah, fuck Miami.
How angry does that make you?
They've just. What was the analogy I gave you earlier? It was. because they promised so much to the fans, like they're gonna sign, like, you know, we're trying to get Messi over here,
Cavani,
Luis Suarez, Griezmann said he would play here, like, you know, Miami. So they're hyping it up with their stadium too, like, and it hasn't gotten approved or whatever. It's so what I was saying to you is they're kind of like the guy on a first date talking about how big his dick is, and then once.
Pulls up with a micro schlong,
you know, you're just all talk, you know? So you gotta, like, if you're gonna talk the talk, you better fucking back it, like, you know? And, like, the only interesting player they signed was Pizarro, who was like, okay, like, it's not, like, total, like, subpar signing compared to what you guys were promising. So, they're just pissing me off. Like, especially a team, I expected a lot more from a team that David Beckham made, you know, like, especially coming from a footballer. So I was expecting
a
lot.
And extremely underwhelming. And every time I look at those jerseys, I just get more upset because that logo is badass. That's the one thing that, you know, I feel like the logo and the brand, we'll call it the brand, you know, it's kind of set the bar high because that was the first thing that image that came out of the Beckham project. And then we're like, oh, like the colors are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pink, it's in Miami, pink and black. The logo is cool.
Flamingos.
Great opportunity to bring out a badass kit. And they roll out with these fucking white t-shirts. And then
it's a Sunday league kit.
All black, like with the logo on it. No, very little pink at all involved.
Yeah.
And then they're 0-4. They're 0-2 in the group, and then they lost both of their league games before lockdown. They're shit, dude.
It's been
a surprise. But MLS is back has actually been very fun to watch. There's been some fun games. There was a 4-3 game, Toronto-Montreal. San Jose played Vancouver last week. They were down 3-1 with 20 minutes to go. They came back and won 4-3.
Beast.
Orlando City is looking good. Our boy Chris Mueller is balling out.
Yes.
Lots to look forward to with the MLS's back tournament.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if the league resumes when the tournament is done and how that'll play out. But it's been fun. So I'll leave it at that. But go Fire tonight, by the way.
Go Fire.
So extra touches. I've actually got quite a few since it's been a couple weeks since we last recorded. I want to give my first one a quick shout out to Wickham Wanderers. For those who are unfamiliar, they got promoted to the championship
yes.
for the first time in their league's hit, their team's history. Was that
with Eichen Fenwell? No, not Eichen Fenwell. Eichen Fenwell, yeah. And he got that, sorry, I totally like interrupted you, but he got that WhatsApp message from Jurgen Klopp.
Yep.
And he's like going, dude, he's not even speaking English. He's like, yes, blood. That's what we do, blood. He's like, yes. He's like, that's what we do, blood. And I'm like, well, this guy's, it's like awesome.
He's a hype man.
He's, yeah, it's
he's 38
beast.
Years old, Eichen Fenwell. And he's a bit of a, they, I guess the term is a journeyman. He's played with a bunch of different teams, mm-hmm. all the way from, you know, non-league football to now he's just a championship player, technically. Yeah. I believe he was with Wickham when they got promoted to League One via the playoff like they did for this. And now, so they've recently got promoted to League One, and now they shot up to the championship for the first time in their club's history. And I think it was awesome because you can actually bet on League One games in England. And they had, like, one of the worst odds to win or get promoted, basically. Almost like the almost like the Leicester odds when they won the league.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They had very low statistics in terms of, like, goals per game, you know, the amount of possession they'd have a game. All that stuff, and they got promoted via the playoffs. And Eichen Fenwell, man, he's 38 years old. He's gonna be playing in the championship next year. It's fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Very cool interview though with him. I posted it on Twitter earlier in the week. So that was my first one. Let's see what else I got here. Have any off the top of your head?
I saw something. Quick shout out to Sergio Ramos. Most goals by a defender this century.
Yes, I did see that.
Real quick on that. I mean,
scores a lot of pens.
He scores a lot of pens, dude. But he scores a lot of headers. Like he does score a lot for a defenderly. I mean, talk about a good return on your investment. Good defender and fucking goal scorer also.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's kind of dirty, but, you know. Yeah,
but that's his charm, though.
And he's, yeah, that's just kind of his personality, I guess. His thing. Here's one I saw. After Spurs beat Arsenal, what was it, like a week ago or so?
Mm-hmm.
This Spurs fan rolled into the gas station in London and saw Aubameyang filling up his Lamborghini, matte black / all gold Lamborghini, literally painted gold.
Whoa.
At the gas station, and he was trying to give him some banter, saying they beat him 2-1, and it's like, bro, who's the real loser here? This guy's filling up his gold Lamborghini. You think he's gonna be fazed by you mocking a 2-1 defeat to Spurs in a stadium when there were no fans?
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna be too fazed by that.
No, he's just gonna go right along in his Lamborghini and carry on with his day. Yeah, that's classic, bro. I don't know. Classic banter, though. You gotta love it.
Yeah, you gotta respect the effort for the banter, I suppose. What else I got here? I know I had a couple here. Maybe not as many as I thought. Oh, here's the other one I had, and I guess this could be the last one. Qatar, who's supposed to have the World Cup in 2022.
Yeah, in the winter.
Is still going forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. They've announced, like, the schedule, like, the dates for, like, the group stage.
Oh, okay.
And the knockout rounds. I believe it's the semifinal. It could be wrong. The semifinal is going to be on Thanksgiving at 5 a.m. Because of the time difference. It's going to be at 5 a.m. here.
Holy ballsack.
So
wow,
I could be wrong. I have to verify this, but there's gonna be, and then the final is gonna be a week before Christmas.
That'd How be interesting.
Odd is that gonna be?
Yeah, it's gonna be weird, dude. Are they canceling? Are they not canceling? Are they putting hold like the leagues during that time, like around the world? Or
I don't know how they're gonna play that yet. I think they might. They might have to adjust the start and finish dates,
mm-hmm.
and they might have to take like a week long international break or a month long international break. But I don't know all the details of that yet.
That's weird,
to be honest.
5 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Oh. So I think that's ridiculous that they're going forward with, I mean, supposedly the final in Qatar is supposed to be in a city that doesn't even exist yet.
That's nuts.
Like, they're going to build the city for the tournament.
That's
basically.
Such a classic Saudi prince thing to do. Yeah. Like, so, the city, he's like, the city's not here yet, but it will be built.
I assure you.
I assure you.
So, that, yeah, that was the last extra touch I had. But
I don't want to say fake, but it's just like, I don't know. Like,
I can respect the fact that you want other parts of the globe to experience hosting the best tournament in sports, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But a city or a country that literally has no infrastructure like that, to the point where they need to build a city to host the final, that just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And in an in a geographic region where you have to move it to the winter.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is gonna be a bust. This, like, in terms of, like,
it could be it could be a mess.
Not the actual soccer, but like, I just think it's gonna be a shit show. To be honest with you, yeah. I think it's gonna be a shit show. So yeah.
The only venue I can kind of compare it to is South Africa, maybe. But
yeah.
They did a really good job.
No, they did.
But
do
they
a good job.
And they had a lot of the infrastructure in place. They had enough. Metropolitan areas to, you know, have enough host cities.
But I also saw stories they didn't even use the stadiums anymore after the World Cup. They're just
I think Brazil is the same way. That kind of makes me sad. But 2026, U.S., Canada, and Mexico, we're getting that one. So that'll be fun. So we're just going to have to deal with Qatar, I guess.
Whatever.
But yeah, I think that'll do it, unless you have anything else to add.
No, that's it for me.
Sweet. Well, thank you all for joining us and for tuning in. Follow us. We're 3 followers away from 300 followers on Twitter, so go smash that follow button at golden_goalpod. And other than that, we will see you next time.
Yeah, see you later, folks. Please also leave a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Share to your friends, family, neighbors, dogs, aunts, grandmas. Please.
Everybody.
Everybody. All right.
See you next time.
Take it easy.
Peace.